WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so. The number is 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in on the Tom Brady conversation, Bill Belichick, certainly welcome to do so. But I did want to mention this real quickly. How about N'Keal Harry on Twitter? He had tweeted this out, quote, "Quick to talk, but let's see how quick they'll be to bite that tongue." N'Keal Harry motivated for the 2020 season. And there's been this perception that the Patriots offense is really difficult to pick up over the years. And Harry was asked to learn his third offense in 3 years because he had a coaching change at college when Herm Edwards came in. Todd Graham was the previous coach there. So this guy was trying to learn last year his third offense in 3 years. And he was supposed to be trying to learn one of the most difficult offenses in the NFL, if you believe what the Patriots basically put out there. Their offense is so hard. Now, he also missed the first 8 games of the season and then wasn't activated when he was ready to come back, remember? So he missed a lot of time to build up a chemistry on the field with Tom Brady. Not to mention, the quarterback had no interest in developing N'Keal Harry. Now, I'm not taking a shot at Tom Brady when I say that. I'm just stating facts here. We knew that Tom Brady had the power to become a free agent at the end of the season. He had no idea on whether or not Tom was coming back after the season, and obviously it turned out he left. So when I think about this situation, if you're Tom Brady, and again, this is not a shot at Brady, but Brady's thinking, all right, maybe this guy's got some skills, but he's not going to be good until next season, 2020, 2021. And since Brady wasn't under contract, he wasn't going to take a ton of time to try to develop N'Keal Harry. The quarterback last year, Tom Brady, thinking about how can I be competitive and win this year? And once N'Keal Harry wasn't showing a lot of signs, he wasn't going to put all his attention onto N'Keal Harry like he would have 10 years ago when he knew he was going to be a member of the organization going forward. There was no incentive for Tom Brady to work super hard to develop a guy like N'Keal Harry because he didn't know if he was going to be here after the season. So all those things were working against N'Keal Harry last year. He dealt with an injury to begin the season, so he's behind the eight ball. He's got to learn another offense, not to mention the quarterback has no incentive in developing the player whatsoever. All those things were working against N'Keal Harry. So that's why when everybody, it seems like they're writing N'Keal Harry off because of last year, and oh yeah, against the Texans, everybody's all over him because he, on that slant route, he was basically, it looked like he gave up on the route, and of course Bradley Roby had the interception. It's one play. He's a rookie wide receiver learning his third offense in 3 years, and everybody's all over him after that. I'm not telling you that he's going to be the greatest receiver in the history of the NFL, but why can't we reserve judgment on this guy? Like, all of a sudden, he's already been labeled a bad draft pick by Bill Belichick. Let's give a little bit of time to see what N'Keal Harry can develop into, because we know going forward now, whoever the next quarterback is, they're going to have to use N'Keal Harry because there's not a whole lot of weapons on this team right now outside of Julian Edelman, who's now 34 years old. And the other thing I'd say with N'Keal Harry is this. Even if he doesn't turn out to be a number one receiver, if he's at least somebody that produces, that's fine. Because you should be doubling down on receivers in the draft. Bill Belichick should be going into this year's draft drafting more receivers. And we know it's a loaded draft. Now, the CeeDee Lambs, the Jerry Judys, the Henry Ruggses of the world, those guys are probably already going to be off the table. But this draft is deep at the receiver position. Brandon Ayuk, the kid ironically out of Arizona State, like N'Keal Harry. You talking about guys like Justin Jefferson out of LSU? There is a lot of talent at the wide receiver position. So just say hypothetically, N'Keal Harry never ends up being a number one, but you find another number one in the next couple of drafts. Well, if N'Keal Harry turns out to be a decent receiver, like, for example, Tennessee, they drafted A.J. Brown this year in the second round. He turned out to be a stud. He's already a bona fide number one receiver, had over 1,000 receiving yards last season. Corey Davis, they had previously selected in the draft in the first round, I believe the fifth pick overall. He's been okay, but he hasn't been a number one receiver. But that's still fine because you have A.J. Brown. So even if N'Keal Harry never ends up being a bona fide stud number one receiver, as long as he produces and you find that other number one, that's fine. And I'm not dismissing the fact that he could still be a number one receiver. We don't know. He's played 7 NFL games. The quarterback wasn't interested in throwing him the football. The quarterback wasn't interested in developing the player. He was injured to begin the season. There's a possibility that N'Keal Harry is still a good player and everybody's writing him off already like he's never going to be good for the Patriots and Belichick missed on that pick. It's 1 year and it's 7 games. Give him an opportunity. Let's see what he looks like if Stidham's the quarterback. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Mark in Rhode Island. What's going on, Mark?
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
So this theory that as long as the Patriots won the Super Bowl, that it forces the conclusion that they must have had adequate talent on offense is very flawed. I can disprove it by one example.
Okay.
We go back to 2014, and Pete Carroll runs the ball, and we don't have the Malcolm Butler interception. Patriots lose the Super Bowl, and that means the Patriots didn't have adequate talent on offense to win.
Wait, they were in the Super Bowl, Mark, so by default they had a chance to win the game anyway. I don't really understand where your argument's at.
Right, but the theory is we're basing it on Super Bowl victories after the fact and with the benefit of
No, Mark, what I'm saying is outside of 3 years, Brady had good enough weapons to compete for a Super Bowl. Other than 3 years, Belichick put the proper weapons around Brady. That's my point.
I disagree. The reason
when was the other years?
Compete,
give me the other years.
The reason they were able to compete was because of Tom Brady, because he's done more with less than any quarterback in NFL history. Can I give you the list of receivers that he's had? He's had three marquee receivers in 18 years: Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Julian Edelman. He's had no marquee running backs. The best running back he's ever had was Corey Dillon. He had Antoine Smith, Lawrence Maroney, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, Steve Ridley, Steve Jackson, LeGarrette Blount, Sony Michel. The receivers he had: David Patton, Troy Brown, Deion Branch, Donald Hayes, Bethel Johnson, David Givens, Richay Caldwell, Jabbar Gaffney, Doug Gabriel, Chad Johnson, Dante Stallworth, Brandon Tate, Brandon Lloyd, Austin Colley, Aaron Dobson, Kembrell Tompkins, Brandon LaFell.
Okay, all right. So what's the point? I don't get your point, Mark.
The point is that it's Tom Brady. The reason they won those Super Bowls is because of him. He was able to do it without marquee players. Peyton Manning had Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, Edgar and James.
Hold on, Mark. So you're saying that Brady is the reason the Patriots won all these Super Bowls, and I'm not dismissing the fact, obviously Brady's a major part, he's the quarterback, but so Peyton Manning didn't help any of those guys that he was playing with in Indianapolis? It was all the receivers, they elevated Peyton Manning? I don't get that argument.
Peyton Manning couldn't have done what Tom Brady did with these players. Tom Brady is the reason.
That's certainly up for debate. I mean, I don't know how you can come to that conclusion. Peyton Manning's been a five-time MVP of the NFL. Nobody else in the history of the sport has done that. So to say that Peyton Manning couldn't have won more Super Bowls with the Patriots, I just feel like you're just making something up. There's no way to prove that.
I'm not looking. Look at when he went to the Broncos. He had an absolutely stacked offense. He's always had weapons.
When it's Peyton Manning, the weapons are stacked. When it's Tom Brady, they're not. Like, you dismiss the fact.
Hold on, Mark.
You dismiss the fact that Tom Brady played with one of the greatest receivers in the history of the NFL in Randy Moss and the best tight end in the history of the NFL in Rob Gronkowski. Those things, Brady made those guys, right? It wasn't the other way around. But Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, they made Peyton Manning in Denver. They made him.
Brady's had two marquee number one receivers in 18 years, Randy Moss and Brandon Cooks. Randy Moss with
Mark,
two and a half
Mark,
years.
But he had Rob Gronkowski for a decade, the best tight end in the history of the sport. That supplants the fact that you need a bona fide number one wide receiver because you have a number one tight end.
Yeah, but then he's handing the ball off to Ben Jarvis Green Ellis and Cordarrelle Patterson. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying he had zero marquee players, but he's – Look at
who were the Broncos running backs, Mark?
Troy Aikman had two of the top 10 best players at the receiver.
Why the hell are we talking about Troy Aikman? Who cares? I don't care about Troy Aikman.
Because all these other quarterbacks cannot win unless they have marquee players. Tom Brady was able to do it with marginal players. He had Chris Hogan. This guy was a lacrosse player.
Yeah, he was like the fourth option, Mark. Yeah, you're right.
He wasn't. He was their number one receiver. Edelman was a slot receiver. He was their number one.
When was Chris Hogan the number one receiver for the Patriots? In 2018, at the beginning of the season, when Edelman was suspended, you labeled him the number one receiver.
No.
Well, Gronk's the number one option. It doesn't matter.
No. In 2016, Hogan was your number one receiver. Edelman's a slot receiver. Slot receiver's not a number one receiver.
Why can't your slot receiver be your best receiver? That doesn't make any sense.
That's not the same. Best and number – your number one receiver, your number one wide receiver. Edelman's a slot receiver.
Mark? He really didn't have enough weapons because they got Rob – I appreciate the call, but he had Rob Gronkowski at the beginning of the season. He gets injured. Martellus Bennett, stud tight end. Danny Amendola, James White out of the backfield. Julian Edelman in the slot. I don't know how you can argue that Brady didn't have enough weapons. I gave you 3 years that Brady didn't have the proper weapons. 3 years. That's it. The rest of the time he was here, he had the proper weapons. I'm not dismissing dismissing the fact that Brady's the greatest quarterback in the history of the league. But to act like he was working with nothing is absolutely ridiculous. And pointing out that Peyton Manning had all these great weapons, but Peyton Manning gets no credit for developing any of those guys, and Tom Brady gets all the credit for the success the Patriots had, that just doesn't work. It doesn't make any sense. Let's get to Mikey's in Saugus. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Brian, how are you today?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call, and I appreciate the different perspective you bring to the sports talk show scene. So, as a longtime Patriots fan and season ticket holder, and I know I'll be in the minority on this, I'm totally fine with them tanking to a certain degree over the next year or two, because this is going to be more than just a one-year rebuild. They don't have a lot of salary cap space this year. They do have a lot of draft picks, but they're more kind of in the back end of the draft, okay? And they've got a lot of holes to fill. It's not just Brady. You mentioned Edelman. So he's 34 with injuries, so they have to replace him, plus add more depth to that position anyways. They don't have tight ends. They could use a right tackle because Marcus Cannon's getting up there in age, and he's had injury history and injuries the last few years. Same thing on the defensive side. Vannoy's left. Hightower's getting up there in age. You've got to replace him too, plus add more players into the mix. You've got Gostkowski this year. You need a kicker. This isn't going to be just a one-year rebuild, okay? This is really, realistically, 2 years. Okay, so my thing is, they went 5-11, 6-10 this year, got their salary cap situation in shape, and then go into next year with money and higher draft picks. That's how they're going to be able to rebuild the roster. Okay, the best they can hope for in the draft this year is kind of fill in some holes here and there, because they don't have a lot of high picks either. They don't have a second round pick because of this new trade.
Right.
Their first round pick is, quite frankly, it's a later pick. And this is what people have to understand. You know, that for the last 10, 12 years, they're always drafting at the later end of the draft because of their great success. And that has a cumulative effect. Now it's caught up to them.
Right.
Now, in terms of N'Keal Harry, I agree with you. I think it's very short-sighted by the fans. A lot of your colleagues in the media
that
have basically written this guy off, okay, that he's a bust. Same way they've written off Wynn and Sonny Michel, too. Okay, that these three guys, because I think the three of them are kind of tied together, that they're busts and they're examples, prime examples of how Belichick doesn't draft well and doesn't, you know, use his resources correctly. I think N'Keal Harry has a lot of upside. Okay, but you got to see how he plays out over the next, you know, this year and even probably the year after, because whatever quarterback he's going to have this year may not be the quarterback he's playing with long term down the road. So I think you've got to give him some more time. But I'm okay with a rebuild, Brian, and it's going to be a year or two. And I think fans have to accept that. For all that they've given us over the last 20 years, they need to put fresh talent on this team, new talent, and it's going to take a little bit of time. Listen, I thank you for the time. Take care. Bye.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Great call, Mike. His line's open at 617-779-7937. Now, maybe I'm in the minority like he is, but I don't mind a rebuild either. If the Patriots aren't going to be good in the 2020 season, that's not going to upset me. It's not going to upset me if they're not good next year, because even if they brought back Tom Brady, they weren't winning a Super Bowl. So I don't care if the Patriots aren't a Super Bowl-level team in the 2020 season. They weren't a Super Bowl-level team in 2019. Yeah, they had a 12-4 record. They scored 13 points against the Tennessee Titans. So I'm all set with, after a quarterback's been here for 20 years, to push the pause button, reset, and try to find the next great Patriots quarterback and put together the next great Patriots team. And to his point, this team's going to have north of $100 million in salary cap space after this season. So it's time to if you have a rich friend, they take a gap year. You know, if you have a rich friend that went to college, you say, yeah, I'm taking the year off because their parents are super rich and go travel Europe, whatever the case may be. I'm fine with the Patriots doing that for a year. Hit the pause button, rebuild this thing, and let Belichick have some time to rebuild the organization that is now going to have to be surrounded with young players. That's what they're going to have to do going forward. All right, if you want to join us, the number to do so is 617-779-7937. We'll continue to keep this going. Plus, I do want to get back into the tanking conversation. I'm totally okay with it, but would you be upset if the Patriots went full tank mode? Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI. We'll get you trending in a second.
OMF, weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com. The Patriots are getting ready for life after Tom Brady. That includes Defensive Player of the Year Stephon Gilmore. Gilmore told ESPN's Mike Reese that he was not surprised that Brady left. Gilmore also spoke to Reese about Jarrett Stidham, saying, quote, "He makes some tough throws, definitely made it hard on me in practice each and every week, going against whoever I was covering, making some great throws. Knicks owner James Dolan tested positive for the coronavirus. The team says Dolan is experiencing little to no symptoms. The league is also feeling the financial pains of missing games. Clippers owner Steve Ballmer told Bloomberg News that his team will lose at least $10 million this season. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I can't tell you the hundreds of times that Tommy has said Phil is the best coach in football. I mean, he's just the Tommy sings Phil's praises. So the war sounds a little bit harsh. I think it's a separation. You know, they Bill's got a lot of responsibilities to keep the Patriots on track, and that is a bigger responsibility than keeping Tommy under the hood. So you know, both of them are mature individuals, and I really respect Bill's decision and respect Tommy's decision as well. It's okay to take different paths. You don't have to stay joined at the hip.
All right, that was Tom Brady Sr. on Dell and Sonia Curry's podcast earlier this week, talking about the fact he doesn't want to call it a divorce. He wants to call it a separation, although we all know that was a divorce. We all know that that was an ugly situation over the past couple of years where Brady in 2017 wins the MVP and Bill won't give him an extension. He just gives him a bunch of incentives that he could reach to make it additional money. And then in 2018, after he wins the Super Bowl, Bill says, yeah, we're not going to give you an extension. And basically, Brady gets a bump in pay, but that's it. And Brady, after that, is asked by the media, does he think he deserves an extension? He says, I think you should ask Mr. Kraft. So I think it was a little bit more than a separation. No disrespect to Tom Brady Sr., but it was a little bit uglier than just a separation. It was time for both those guys to go their separate ways. And it was pretty ugly at the end. The number is 617-779-7937. Let's get to John. What's up, John?
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Good, man.
All right, let me take you off speakerphone.
Okay.
I just wanted to double down on the point that the last caller made about, what the Patriots are facing in the 2020 season. This does look like a total rebuild. I'm almost questioning why Belichick would bring the McCourty twins back because it seems like, okay, this is it. We've had a great time for the last 20 years. Now we got to pay the piper. And I think the low draft picks and all that other stuff, it's all looking just like this. And if this is the season coming up that they've got to pay the bills, so to speak, and get back on track, then I'm okay. I've been a Patriots fan since 1979. So I've seen the worst of the worst. And I have nothing but if I was going to trust somebody to rebuild the team, Bill Belichick would be my guy. So,
John, a couple of things to your point about, okay, so we all know that he loves Devin McCourty. McCourty's a great leader and all that. And he last year was one of the best safeties of the NFL. So I get it. You're saying, well, if you're rebuilding, why do you need to bring him back? But just say, hypothetically, things start to go south this season and they're playing poorly at the beginning of the year. He could flip Devin McCourty at the trading deadline if Devin McCourty wanted to play for a contender, and you could get something of value back for McCourty. So you could always do that down the road.
Yeah, that's true. What about Joe Tooney? I mean, I don't know why I would want a franchise.
Yeah, that's a weird situation. I mean, they could trade him, but I think you're going to want to keep him around for whoever the next quarterback is going to be. Hopefully they can work out an extension long term. They still have time to do that. But I can't imagine that he actually plays the season under the franchise tag. I would assume that they're either going to trade him or sign him to an extension. I just don't believe that he'll play the season under that franchise tag, if you will.
That's great. Hey, love the show. Love talking to you, and keep up the good work.
Yeah, appreciate it, John. It's an interesting situation with Tooney. And to the Devin McCourty point, now the Jason McCourty one is a little bit puzzling. Maybe that's because he's Devin McCourty's brother. But the Devin McCourty thing, I understand it from the point that, all right, you want somebody that can keep the culture in line here with the Patriots. Devin McCourty has always been considered to be a great leader of this team. The defense, now I understand you lost some pieces. You lost Van Noy. You lost Jamie Collins. There's still some talent on the defensive side of the football. So I assume Belichick, if things do go south and he goes, all right, we're going to completely scrap this thing, we're going to tank it, we're going to get it down to the studs, you could always trade Devin McCourty away down the road. And the same thing with, like, for example, if you really want to go bare bones, you could eventually trade a guy like Stephon Gilmore, who just won Defensive Player of the Year. imagine what the return would be for Stephon Gilmore. Remember, Jalen Ramsey went to the Rams at the deadline this year for two first-round picks. So if the Patriots are really playing poorly and it doesn't look like they're going to be competitive, you could trade Gilmore and McCourty and get a whole lot back in return if Belichick wanted to go in that direction. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Michael. He is in Lynn. Hey, Michael. Hey, Michael, before you get started.
What's going on?
Hey, man, before you get started, so I feel bad for that Lynn English team. They were going to win the championship, and they couldn't play because of everything going on with coronavirus. Did you see that team play at all this year?
Nah, bro.
Yeah,
sorry.
They were good. They were good.
I call because I've been listening to you today. I listened to you yesterday, and you just make it. You just sound like you got nothing but excuses. Stidham went here, Stidham went there. N'Keal Harry had three offensive calls. He was literally the worst rookie wide receiver out of all the receivers last year.
Yeah, that's Michael. Michael, hold on a second.
That's a fact.
Let me tackle one guy at a time here. So the Stidham point, why do I need excuses for Stidham? He hasn't played yet. All I'm saying is the reason he went lower in the draft than he did was because of the fact what his college career was like. That's the only point I'm making about Stidham.
Okay, so but you seem to always say, oh, what's Brady going to do? How's Brady going to look? Him and Bruce Arians. How about you worry about your team? How's your team going to look? How are the Patriots going to look with their $5 in cap space? How are they going to look? How are they going to look?
In 2020? I don't think it's going to be a great team. But
in 2020, yeah.
So, yeah, but
he's the
what
greatest
was it going to look?
But all of a sudden, you're giving him a path to rebuild now, right?
Michael, yeah, I'm giving him a path to rebuild. He earned the opportunity to rebuild. Michael, why would I, if Brady
you ship Brady out of town,
Michael,
to rebuild and go, what, 3-13?
What were they going to do? Michael, what were they going to do with Brady? They weren't winning a Super Bowl next year with Brady. What's the point?
They weren't going to be 3-13.
Okay,
they
weren't
going to be 5-11.
Yeah, but Michael, that's where we differ. I don't care if they go 3-13 or 5-11 with Brady. It's the same thing to me as going 12-4 with Brady and losing in the first round of the playoffs. They weren't winning anything of significance with Brady, so why not start the rebuild?
Come on, bro. All you're doing is making excuses. He gave Jimmy G away. He didn't even call any other teams. He called one team and he gave them away. What did that pick turn out to be? Can you remind me, since you're going to remind us about all the picks that he's been making? What did Jimmy G, that pick, what did that turn out to be?
Yeah, a second round draft pick. What's the point?
Who's the player that it turned out to be? Because you all of a sudden, all you got is 15, 16 years ago stuff. We're talking about 2019, 2018, his drafting. He let Gronk walk away for nothing. Who did he replace Gronk with again?
Gronk retired.
Who did he replace Gronk with again?
Michael, hold on. This is how it works. You talk, then I talk. Gronk retired. Okay, Gronk retired. And not to mention the fact that, Michael, if you look at it, remember what happened with Rob Gronkowski? He waited until, what, the middle of March to announce his retirement. He screwed
the
Patriots over.
Belichick should know better than that. You're giving him a pass for that. Who did he replace him with?
Well, he wanted Jared Cook, but he had to wait for Gronk.
No. Answer the question. Who did he replace him with? Nobody. That's the thing. You keep carrying his water.
Okay, Michael, hold on. We're talking about 1 year. I told you, 83% of the time, Brady has had the proper players around him to compete for a Super Bowl. You're talking about one specific season. One season where, oh, by the way, the quarterback that you keep talking about, all his numbers are down across the board. You want to blame everybody else. And Michael, you keep bringing up N'Keal Harry. Well, did Brady work with them in the offseason, in the OTAs? Now, he met with them once and worked out with them, but was Brady developing N'Keal Harry? You talk about all these other rookie receivers having great years. How come Brady couldn't get more out of a guy that they took in the first round? Oh, you're just guaranteeing that Belichick missed on the player? He's never going to be good because he wasn't
the
great.
Wrong guy again.
How do you know? How do you know? You don't know that.
Again.
You don't know that.
Yeah.
How do you know that? How do you know that, Michael? How do you know he's not going to be better in the future?
How did he look?
He played seven games.
How did he look in those games, genius? He looked like garbage. He looked like the worst wide receiver that was in the draft. You can't agree to that because you're carrying water.
Oh, so yeah, so
you can't even tell us. You can't even be honest and objective.
Michael, you're right. You know what? N'Keal Harry does not have an opportunity. I appreciate the phone call. N'Keal Harry's never going to be a good player because he didn't perform well in seven games when the quarterback had no incentive to develop the player. He had no incentive to develop the player because Brady knew, or Brady at least had the idea, he knew that he had the possibility of leaving the organization. So we're going to write N'Keal Harry off after 1 year in the NFL. Not to mention the fact, you keep mentioning last year. I've acknowledged the fact that the weapons weren't great last year. I've acknowledged that. I said 83% of the time, so I'm taking 3 years away. 83% of the time, Brady has had the proper weapons around him to be able to be a Super Bowl caliber team. And you're looking at 1 year. You're looking at the 2019 season. I've never argued that the 2019 season Brady had great weapons. But the other thing I would point out with the 2019 season, and maybe part of the reason that Belichick said, hey, it's time to move on, well, those other years where Brady didn't have great weapons, like 06, when Rashay Caldwell was his number one wide receiver, in 2013 when Rob Gronkowski went down, and of course, Aaron Hernandez could not play football after the murder investigation, and of course, we all know the history of that. But you didn't have Gronk for half the season. You didn't have Hernandez for half the season. You had Kembrel Tompkins, and you had Aaron Dobson, and you had Julian Edelman. Well, in 06 and 13, the quarterback was able to elevate the players around him, right? He was able to do that. He was able to improve the Patriots team, and they made it all the way to the AFC Championship game in both those seasons, and they should have won it in 2006. But anyway, I digress. Getting back to the original point, when you look at it, the fact that Brady was good enough and the team was good enough to get to the AFC Championship game, look at this year. Brady wasn't good enough to make those players around him better anymore. Yeah, I agree with you. The weapons were not great this past season, but Brady also didn't have that extra element to his game where everybody else got better around him. He didn't make anyone better in the 2019 season in terms of the weapons. That did not happen whatsoever. That did not happen. So because those weapons didn't get better, because of the fact you only put up 13 points against the Tennessee Titans, maybe the coach was thinking, yeah, he's not the same player anymore. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe that's why Belichick decided to move on from Brady. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Joe in Boston. What's up, Joe? Hey, Joe.
Hello.
Hey, Joe. What's going on, man?
I just wanted to comment on the caller who was talking about Brady being a one-man show.
Oh, yeah.
I will never dispute the fact that Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. I will never dispute that. But what that caller forgets to mention in his diatribe was the fact that how about the offensive and defensive lines? The defensive lines and the defense kept Brady on the field more than the other quarterbacks did. I mean, he gave him more of an opportunity to score and to be great.
Well, and Joe,
what about that fact?
Yeah, well, and the other thing that he's missing out on that too is his whole argument went the wrong way when he started to say that Peyton Manning was given all these weapons, and that, like, so Peyton Manning gets no credit for the production that the receivers he had. Like, he doesn't get any credit for those guys playing well. Only Tom Brady gets credit for developing receivers. That was one of the most asinine things I've ever heard. He weakened his argument.
Plus, he was saying that, he didn't even mention Gronkowski.
He's not a receiver. He's a tight end, okay? So that doesn't count, right, according to him. It was idiotic.
I mean, the whole thing is ludicrous. They've been to 9 Super Bowls. What more can you ask out of a quarterback and a coach? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree with you.
They got to be doing something right. I mean, I think that the defense played a huge role in a lot of those championships.
Oh, yeah.
The old adage, defense wins championships.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Joe, and some really good points. So now, if you look at it, too, remember, everybody talks about the 6 Super Bowls. Brady in the first Super Bowl threw for 145 yards. Did he make a clutch throw late? Yeah, he certainly did. Okay, Brady in the AFC Championship game in the first Super Bowl, he threw for 115 yards. And another thing, and Mike from Lynn has brought this up several times, like, everybody gets all over Belichick for the Malcolm Butler decision. Okay, we all acknowledge that Belichick screwed that game up. But how about the fact that Tom Brady in the 2011 Super Bowl, he was outplayed by Eli Manning, and he threw an interception in that game. He also had, remember, the intentional grounding in that game. And if you go back to the 2007 Super Bowl with one of the greatest receivers in the history of the NFL in Randy Moss with Wes Welker, they put up 14 points. Brady in that game, 29 of 48 with one touchdown. He completed 60% of his passes. So I just want to point it out there that everybody wants to blame Belichick for all this crap going on, and you dismiss the fact that there were Super Bowls that Brady did not play well in. This is nothing against Tom Brady, but everybody acting like Brady was perfect his whole career and he made everybody within this organization, it's just not true. And to dismiss Rob Gronkowski and all these great players he's had around him throughout the years, Wes Welker, Randy Moss, and to say that, oh, well, Brady made everybody else around him better. Brady's the only reason that the Patriots won all these Super Bowls. Yeah, he's the main reason they won it. Him and Belichick are the main reason that they won it. But to say that he didn't have weapons, that's just not true. It's not true. Let's get to David. He's in Florida. What's up, David?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, just a question. With the or you get your thoughts with the evolution of the quarterbacks, Lamar Johnson, Jackson, and Mahomes. Do you think Belichick's trying to rebuild to contend with that class of quarterbacks that we're going to see in the future?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he's trying to rebuild with whoever his next quarterback's going to be. And the Ravens, I guess, would be one of the threats in the AFC along with the Chiefs. So, yeah, he's rebuilding to hopefully compete with those guys long term, because Jackson's not going anywhere and Mahomes isn't going anywhere, if that's the question.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the times are changing, so he's adapting to it. So to keep, you know, Brady around, you know, he that's eating up a lot of money. So,
yeah,
you know, you can't.
Right. Yeah. It's a fair point, David. It's a fair point, and I appreciate the phone call. I've said multiple times, the reason that Belichick didn't want to bring back Brady is he doesn't think he's good enough anymore to elevate the players around him. Like everybody keeps pointing out, Brady made everybody in the history of the Patriots organization. But last year, we saw some dip off with Brady. We saw him miss some throws that he otherwise would have made. So if you brought him back, you were going to have to do it. Brady wanted a multi-year contract. So if you're going to bring him back for a multi-year extension, odds are he's going to suck at 44. So Belichick didn't want to do that. Belichick's not going to say to himself, well, I'm fine giving out this contract if he's pretty good at 43 and then he stinks at 44, because at least he'll be good at 43. He's not making that bet. Tampa Bay's in a totally different situation. They had no fans. They weren't selling out their arena. It wasn't even close to being sold out, their stadium. There's nobody going to games. Now they're instantly one of the biggest draws in the NFL because of the star that Tom Brady is. Not the football player, the star that Tom Brady is, to bring intrigue to the organization. Bill Belichick's not in the business of playing to, oh, let's see what does the best for ratings. Let's see what does the best for our bottom line. That's not what Bill Belichick does. He's looking to see what's the best for the future of the organization, and he decided to move on from Brady. And all these people that keep bringing this crap up about Belichick messing up last year, they also dismiss the fact, when I asked them what this team would be in the 2020 season with Brady, nope. Oh, yeah, they'd be pretty good, but they can't win anything. What's the point? What's the point of being pretty good? There's no point of being pretty good and not winning a Super Bowl. Start the rebuild over now. Pull the Band-Aid off. 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you until the top of the hour. We'll get to why I'm okay with the Patriots tanking as well. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI.
You're locked in to the WEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, Brian Barrett with you until the top of the hour. So I was telling you that I'm okay with tanking. The reason for that is this. I don't want to be the Orlando Magic of the NFL. So the Orlando Magic, in all likelihood, if the season gets back underway, they're going to be the eighth seed, and they're going to take on the best team in the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, in terms of record, you can argue the Lakers or the Clippers. I'm just saying in terms of record, and they're going to get swept. Their ceiling is getting the 7th or the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference. If you look at this team right now, they don't have a young star. Like in the other conference in the West, you got a guy like John Morant you're building around. So you feel good about getting the 8th seed because he's going to be your future star. Orlando doesn't have that. So with the Patriots, I don't want to just see them get into the playoffs and then get killed, okay? Or not be able to beat the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Titans. That's not worth it for me. So that's why I'd be okay with the Patriots stinking in the 2020 season if it meant like they're going to get additional draft capital. For example, if they trade the 23rd overall pick, I would have no issue with that whatsoever. Getting more draft capital into the future, I'm all on board with that. I want to see Belichick have the opportunity to rebuild this team and to reload. And he can certainly do that with some of the veterans he has on this team if he wants to trade them away. Let's get to Mike. He's in North Providence. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Brian. Yeah, quick before I move on, just never bring up that 2001 AFC the AFC Championship game again.
Steelers won?
Against Pittsburgh. He got knocked out halfway through that game.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Bledsoe came in. Yeah, Bledsoe came in, yeah.
So anyways, with regards to this, you know, the bottom line was they actually – Bill realized that they weren't going to win with Tom anymore. The money just wasn't right. Never mind his own talent. There's a lot of things at play. Mm-hmm. I think that the straw that broke the camel's back was when they couldn't sign Adam Humphries, and they made him realize, man, where the money is, how am I ever supposed to go and put, you know, talent around this guy in free agency where I offer $10 million to a guy like Adam Humphries, who's pretty good, and I get turned down? I mean, where's this money going to magically materialize from? Whereas there's a lot of ifs with Stidham, and I'm not saying he's the guy, but going forward, and it's not really this season, it's the season after this season, they're much more likely to win with him for the simple fact that not only is Stidham selling his rookie deal, not getting paid another $25 million on top of that, but they're going to get all that dead cap space money back too. So you're talking about like $50 million here.
Yeah, you're going to have like 40, over. 40, you're going to have so much room in the next season.
Yeah, you're going to have. You think Tom at 44 years old is going to be better? Is going to be $50 million better than Jarrett Stidham if Jarrett Stidham is actually a good quarterback? I don't think so.
Right.
And on top of that, even like somebody like Nikhil going forward. I mean, I've been wanting to or very open to trading a lot of the veterans on the team. And honestly, I would trade Edelman at this point. To wherever he wants to go to. And because I think N'Keal Harry is probably best suited at the slot right now. I think he's almost kind of like a blend between a tight end and a wide receiver. I think that, the short yardage stuff, carving out space, I think that's where he really belongs. He's actually bigger than Shannon Sharp. You know, he's bigger than a lot of guys that you would historically consider tight ends. And Belichick loves twin tight end sets. And you have a real, full-size kind of Gronk-like tight end, and you have him there. It's almost kind of like a hybrid of what you had before with Hernandez and Gronk.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, Mike. And sorry, we got to go. I appreciate the phone call. It's an interesting point with N'Keal Harry because if you think about it, we've seen in recent NFL history a guy like Larry Fitzgerald, who played on the outside for the bulk of his career, go into the inside, into the slot. He's really extended his career, and he's been great in the slot. He's been a complete mismatch, so that could make sense with N'Keal Harry, certainly moving into the slot if Belichick decides to do that. And with Edelman, you're looking at, if you trade him, it's like 8.5 dead salary cap, but if you get something of value back for Edelman, and I believe Edelman's going to turn into a malcontender. I don't think he's going to be happy playing in a situation where this team is not competing for a Super Bowl, so I could certainly see that happening where Edelman's on the table. Quite frankly, I could see a lot of these veterans being on the table if you start the season and it doesn't look good from a Patriots perspective in terms of trying to get to the playoffs. All right, thanks to Brian and Bridget for producing today. Really great job. Coming up next here on WEI, we got some classic college basketball, Marquette and Kentucky, and then later on, you got the 1982 National Championship game, Michael Jordan and North Carolina against Georgetown. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.